The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 6, text number 43, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on September 10th, 2012, in Sri Vrindavan Dham, India.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tatra tam buddhi samyogam labhate parva dehikam yatate sha tata bhuya sansedhau kurunandana. Tatra tam buddhi samyogam labhate parva dehikam yatate cha tato bhuya samsedau kurunandana. Tatra tam buddhi samyogam labhate parva dehikam yatate cha tato bhuya sansedha kurunandana. Tatra thereupon tam that buddhi samyogam revival of consciousness labhate gains parvadehikam from the previous body. Yatate he endeavors sha also tata thereafter bhuya again sansidhau for perfection. Kuru Nandana, O son of Kuru. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. On taking such a birth, he revives the divine consciousness of his previous life, and he again tries to make further progress in order to achieve complete success, O son of Kuru. Purport, King Bharat, who took his third birth in the family of a good Brahman, is an example of good birth for the revival of previous transcendental consciousness. King Bharat was the emperor of the world, and since his time this planet has been known among the demigods as Bharat Varsha. Formerly it was known as Lavrata Varsha. The emperor at an early age retired for spiritual perfection but failed to achieve success. In his next life he took birth in the family of a good Brahmana and was known as Jadbhara because he always remained secluded and he did not talk to anyone. And later on he was discovered as the greatest transcendentalist by King Rahugana. From his life it is understood that transcendental endeavors or the practice of yoga never go in vain. By the grace of the Lord, the transcendentalist gets repeated opportunities for complete perfection in Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vaganatam Tatam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanditam Shya Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtanda Deshatarine. I just received an email today from one of my students, and she said that what happens if you don't become completely perfect in this lifetime? Do you start all over again from your next life? The good news is Krishna is very kind. Whatever you achieve in this lifetime, you start from that point in your next lifetime. Let's say you become 60% perfect in this lifetime. Does that mean you start from zero in your next birth? No. You only have 40% left in your next lifetime. So even if you think you're so fallen you can't make it in this lifetime, it's not hopeless. Because whatever progress you make is your eternal asset. Even if you only make 1% progress, that's your eternal asset. So therefore, what should we do every day? Every day we should think, now what can I do today to make spiritual progress? How can I improve my devotional attitude today? How can I take more complete shelter of the Holy Name today? How can I take better advantage of my spiritual master's mercy today? How can I take better advantage of the mercy of the Vaishnavas today? How can I take better advantage of Vrindavan Dham today? What can I do today to be more Krishna conscious than I was yesterday? You see, even just that thought, you see, means you're making progress. Just that thought alone means you're making progress. Just the desire, every day if you wake up and think, I would like to make spiritual advancement today, Krishna, please help me. That's even that one little prayer means you've made progress that day. You see. What to speak of, you can do so many other things. So this process is really powerful. It's really ecstatic. It's really dynamic. I mean, you can't really lose. Because every time you say Krishna, you have gained eternally. In one place, Prabhupada compares it to a spiritual bank account. Every single devotional activity you do, you're building up your assets. Every time you hear a class, every time you think of Prabhupada or Krishna, you see, any transcendental thought, any transcendental word, every time you offer your obeisances, I mean, every little thing we do is all being noted by Krishna. Everything. Nothing is wasted. Nothing goes in vain. Every single devotional activity we do is fully recognized and noted down by Krishna. Prabhupada was giving a lecture one time at Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. Actually, he gave... I recommend you listen to those MP3 collections. They're really, really something. Prabhupada, it's called the Nectar of Devotion series, given before there was even a Krishna Balaram temple here. We didn't have a temple in Vrindavan. But Prabhupada came and he stayed at the Radhadamodar temple. His devotees stayed in some ashram downtown somewhere. And he every day they would have discourses in the courtyard in front of Rupa Goswami's Samadhi. There's a photograph of that also, you can see. And Prabhupada gave the most wonderful series of lectures on the nectar of devotion. And Prabhupada was explaining this wonderful, wonderful process of Krishna consciousness. And he noted, or he explained, how Krishna has a book and he's noting down everything you do. But he also warned us, Yamaraj also has a book. And he's also noting down, is he? So, whose book do you want to be in? You want to be in Krishna's book or Yamaraj's book? Or do you want to be in Yamaraj's book or Krishna's book? You see? Chintamani. So in this way, be careful, Prabhus and Madhujis. Be careful. Be dutiful. Be Krishna conscious. And you'll be okay. I mean, no one's out to get you or to trip you up or to mess you up. Everyone, even Mayadevi, is really on your side. Mayadevi even is really on your side. She's a pure devotee. But it's her duty to strengthen you by tests. That's it. So everything is really in your favor. You just have to connect, that's all. You just have to make the Krishna connection. That's all you have to do. Don't disconnect from Krishna. Every day connect with Krishna. And how do you do that? That's called sadhana bhakti. Prabhupada gives us the wonderful process. It's all there in his books. It's explicitly explained in the next devotion. Simply connect with this process. All you have to do is think of Krishna, think of the pastimes of Krishna, the name of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna. If there's nothing else to do, sit and read all day. You know? If you have nothing else to do, just chant and read all day. I know one devotee, he comes here and goes on chanting marathons. He just chants. And until he completely conks out, and then he wakes up and keeps chanting again. He just goes in a chanting marathon 24 hours a day. And then when he completely conks out, he wakes up, he keeps chanting again, you see. So this is a wonderful atmosphere here, Vrindavan atmosphere. Lord Krishna is personally present here. In fact, this very place where you're sitting, you see, Raman Reti. This is called Raman Reti, this neighborhood. And Raman Reti means pleasure sands. Why is it called pleasure sands? Because Krishna and the cowherd boys had transcendental pleasure playing here every day. You see? We are sitting right now in a place of Krishna's pastimes. Right where we're sitting. You see? Krishna and the cowherd boys are actually right here, right now, doing all their pastimes. We're in the middle of it. We can't see it. Why? Because we're blinded. What are we blinded by? Six kinds of blinding agents. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. They're blinding us. They're like cataracts in the eye, you see. We cannot see how Krishna's lila is going on here right now. You see? So, what to do? Well, you got to get some corrective lenses. Just like Prabhu, I see you wearing glasses. Now, can you see very well without them? Or is it a blur? Huh?
Very less, not much. Very less power.
You have a weak prescription. You have a strong prescription on your glasses, sir? Strong prescription? It's very blurry without them? Anyway, the point is, you have a strong prescription of glasses, and you take them off, it's like a blur out there. It's just a big blur. You've got to put your glasses on so you can see what's out there. So right now, we're blurred. Our vision is blurred. We cannot see Krishna and the cowherd boys having their pastimes going on right around us right now. We can't see it, you see, because our vision is blurred. So when you have bad vision, what do? You go to the optometrist, you get fitted with a pair of glasses. So who's the optometrist? That's Prabhupada, you see. And what is the corrective lenses? That's Prabhupada's books, you see. That's the whole process of sadhana bhakti, you see. By chanting Hare Krishna, taking prasad, especially these two activities. Rupa Goswami says, jiva do, beginning with the tongue. You see. So if you can take your tongue, and you can engage your tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and tasting prasad. You see, that's the beginning point of bhakti. Your tongue, that thing, you know, in your mouth. That's where it begins. Chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasad, and everything else is just an expansion from that, actually. Everything else is an expansion from the tongue's engagement in chanting Hare Krishna and take prasad. So by this activity of devotional service, as one makes advancement in Krishna consciousness, the blurriness gradually goes away, and finally everything comes into focus, and Krishna, you see Krishna standing there. You see. Premanjana charita bhakti valochane na santaksa daiva hridayeshu valokayanti yang shama shundaram achintya gunas varupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. So, if you're ever in anxiety, you're ever depressed, you're ever bewildered, you're ever confused, don't let it get to you. Don't let it bother you, because it just means you're things are out of focus. That's right. It's not that reality is bad. Your vision of reality is bad. That's it. Reality is not bad. Reality is unlimitedly beautiful. What is reality? Krishna. Krishna's devotees. Krishna's abode. Krishna's pastimes. Krishna's qualities. Krishna's entourage. Krishna's paraphernalia. That is reality. So don't let this material energy get you down. Don't get the Maya blues. Simply connect with Krishna. It's not difficult. You have ears, don't you? Hear about Krishna. You have eyes, don't you? Well, look at the beautiful deity of Krishna. Or the beautiful photographs of Prabhupada in this room. Wow. It's like being a kid in a candy shop coming in this room, you see. Seeing all these beautiful pictures of Prabhupada. Why is Prabhupada so beautiful? I mean, how can an old man be beautiful? I mean, you know. How can an old man be beautiful? Because he's the pure devotee of Krishna. You see. And Krishna is unlimitedly beautiful. Prabhupada, being fully connected with Krishna, has the Shakti of Krishna. Therefore, Prabhupada, even though he's an old man's body, Prabhupada is beautiful. Everything about him is beautiful. The way he sits, the way he walks, the way he talks, his hand gestures, especially his intelligence, is unbelievably beautiful and wonderful. To hear how he preaches, to hear how he defeats the scientists and the Mayavadis and the hedonists and the feminists and the masculinists, how he defeats everyone so expertly, so poetically, you see. Not in a crude way. I mean, Prabhupada, everything about him is first class, you see, completely first class. So Krishna consciousness is like Prabhupada. Krishna consciousness is first class, you see. It's not last class. Hitacham, you know what last class is? According to the Bhagavatam, you know what is last class? Hitacham in Sanskrit. Hitacham, you know what is hitacham? In that slok, you know that slok. Yan matanadi grihamedi sukam hitacham. That which is the sex pleasure, you see, that is 10th class. Therefore, we are, our Krishna consciousness movement is brahmachari movement. You see, we are all brahmacharis here. You see, we are brahmachari, brahmacharis, brahmacharini, brahmacharis, grihastha brahmacharis, vanaprastha brahmacharis, sannyas brahmacharis. We have five kinds of brahmacharis. You see. We are a brahmachari movement. Why? Sex life is spit on it. But we can use it for Krishna, then it is beautiful. But otherwise, it's simply spit on the dirty, nasty thing. Dirty, nasty thing. You see? It's like passing stool. It's a dirty, nasty thing. So, if you want to have Krishna consciousness and you want to have sex enjoyment also, forget it. Except for producing Krishna conscious children, that's the exception. But if one wants to have illicit sex life, sex outside of procreation, and be Krishna conscious at the same time, it doesn't work. You'll never do it. You won't get a taste. As long as you are motivated by sex pleasure, you can never get a taste for Krishna's name. It won't happen. You have to become renounced from sex pleasure. you want to get a taste for the name of Krishna. You can say, well, I mean, sex pleasure is pretty good. I mean, in the name, I mean, it's okay, but it'll save me, but I don't get so much taste from it. Well, that just means you're not chanting properly, that's all. Chant properly and the taste will come. You know how much taste is there in the name? Does any of you know what is the quantity of taste in the name? If you think you do, you're wrong, because there's no limit. Unless you say it's unlimited, then you're in. You see? But there's no way you can quantify how much nectar is there in the taste of these two syllables, Krishna. You cannot quantify it. It's not possible. Therefore, Rupa Goswami says, Tunde tandamani vriting vitinute tundavali labdiye karna krodha kadamani gatiyate kunad videvraspiham cheta prangana sangani vijayate savendiyanam kritim no jane janita kriyadbir amrita krishnaiti varnidve. You know the translation? No? Prabhupada said this is a very important verse. He told George Harrison, make a popular song out of this verse. It's such an important verse. Prabhupada wanted to become known all over the world. So, here's the translation. Rupa Goswami says, I do not know how much nectar these two syllables, Krishna, have produced. Because when I vibrate Krishna, that name is dancing on my tongue, Krishna is dancing on my tongue, and there's so much nectar oozing out of Krishna that my one little tongue can't capture hardly any of it. Therefore, I need to have millions and millions of tongues to capture at least a little decent proportion of that unlimited nectar. And then when Krishna enters the holes of my ears, oh, so much nectar. I need trillions and quadrillions, quintillions of ears to capture that nectar of Krishna. And when that Krishna dances in the courtyard of my heart, note the simile, dancing, the dancing holy name. Just imagine the holy name is dancing in your heart. That's called good japa. When you chant japa and you feel the holy name is dancing in your heart, then you know your rounds are improving. And then when that holy name is dancing in the courtyard of my heart, my mind is totally, absolutely, completely subdued, and I am transfixed in a state of transcendental wonderment. A splendorous state of transcendental wonderment. So, you know, who needs sex, you know? Who really needs it? I mean, producing children, it's beautiful and great, but besides that, who needs it? There's unlimited nectar in the name. I remember that as a brahmacharya years ago. I had 14 glorious years in the brahmacharya ashram. The glorious years. You see, Ramachari life is very sweet. So anyway, I remember one household couple, the husband, they were talking, husband and wife were standing there. The husband told me, when I was a Brahmachari in our Miami temple, I remember standing out in the temple yard under the shade of the banyan tree and the mango trees. It was quite an interesting temple yard. We have, you'd be doing your Java walk and mangoes be falling from... Mangoes would be dropping. We used to take the mangoes. We'd have hundreds of mangoes just dropping from the trees in the court. We had a big yard. We'd take it down to the park. We'd blend it up with milk and make mango milkshake, and giving out in the park a huge gallon, huge vats full of mango milkshake. And people went wild on that mango. They got really intoxicated on that mango milkshake. But anyway, this devotee, this householder gentleman, he told me, Prabhu, an amazing thing happened last night. You know, my wife and I, see, and Prabhupada said, for householders, for having sex, they have to chant 50 rounds of japa. 50. Somebody wrote and said, can I just do 25 and read a chapter of the Gita instead? The answer is no. Prabhupada said 50 rounds of japa before trying to have a child. So anyway, on the most once a month on the most fertile day after the woman's menstrual cycle. So anyway, the devotee told me, he said, Prabhu, last night my wife and I, we both chanted 50 rounds, we wanted to have a child, and we were so high on the mantra. After chanting those 50 rounds, we were tasting so much nectar from Krishna's name, we said, let's wait till next month to have a child. Try to have a child. Wait till next month. I mean, who wants to come down the bodily platform, you know, after this? I mean, sex life is nothing compared to this nectar of the name, you see. So they waited a month. I don't know if they ever... I didn't get any more updates. But I didn't ask either. You know, it's a private thing for householders. But he told me. So I didn't ask. He told me. He voluntarily came up. And he was so enlivened. He and his wife had renounced sex pleasure for the sake of Krishna's name. He just had to share it with me as a brahmachari. So anyway, the point is, if you're not tasting the nectar, you're doing something wrong. That's all. You're just not doing it right. It's not that the process is wrong. It's you are wrong. Don't lose faith in the process if you're not tasting nectar sweeter than the sweetest honey. If you're not tasting nectar more beautiful, more powerful, more enlivening than even being Brahmanji, the demigod of the whole material universe, if you're not tasting that kind of nectar, then there's something wrong with your japa, Prabhu. There's something wrong with your japa, Mataji. If you're not tasting a pleasure greater than being in the position of Brahmanji, the demigod of the whole material universe, you see, then you are doing something wrong. And you have to study the 10 offenses, which we recite regularly in our temples. You have to study the 10 offenses and say, okay, what's going wrong here? You know, I put all the ingredients in the oven to make the banana bread. And when it came out, my God, it was a plate full, it was a pan full of goo. I didn't get banana bread. So what did I do wrong? Let me go back and look at the recipe. You know, go down the checklist. I put in the flour, yeah. I put in the bacon. I put in the sugar, yeah. I put in the some oil or butter, yeah. Put some milk in, yeah. Oh, the baking powder. I left out the baking powder. Ah, that's it. So you have to study and see what am I doing wrong. If I'm not getting unlimited nectar from the names, what am I doing wrong? That's all. If the banana bread doesn't come out of the oven after the 25 minutes in the oven, then you got to look over the recipe and say, my God, what did I do wrong here? What did I leave out? You know, what did I goof up? You see. So if you're not getting the nectar from the name, you have to look at that list of the 10 offenses and see, where am I messing up? You see, am I being offensive to devotees? You see, that's the first thing. If I'm being offensive toward devotees, even offensive thoughts against the devotees can mess up the chanting. I'm sitting there chanting, yeah, that creep. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see? Even thoughts will disturb you. Even if you don't say it, just in your mind, if you have bad thoughts about devotees, that will block you from tasting the nectar. The second one, consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Rama. You think, well, Krishna is just, well, there's Krishna, there's Durga, there's Shiva. Yeah, Krishna, Krishna. Do not understand this is the name of the Supreme Lord Himself, the source of all existence. Then you won't have the nectar either. So you have to look. Am I disobeying my Guru Maharaj also? You see? It's the third offense. Am I disobeying? If you're not initiated, you should see, well, am I following what Prabhupada said? Am I disobeying Prabhupada's instruction? You have to see, what am I doing that's against Prabhupada's instructions? What am I doing? My initiated, what am I doing? It's my spiritual master's instruction, who's given me Prabhupada's instructions. What am I doing which is not in accordance with their instruction, you see? You have to be honest and be willing to look at the dirt in your own heart. It's painful, I know, because we all want to think, yeah, I'm a pure devotee. We all want to think, yes, I'm actually a pure devotee, but I have to be humble about it. No, we have contamination in the heart. We have to be honest. Each one of us has to be very honest and go in there and look and see where that dirt is. And if we can't figure out where it is, we have to ask somebody to help us. A trusted friend or a spiritual master, you see. We have to ask somebody to help us. What is my defect? Why am I not tasting the nectar? There's something wrong with my sadhana. I'm not getting the nectar. I'm not relishing the bliss of Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. So what am I doing wrong? Please help me understand. So the list goes on. But you've got the point. You have to go through the list, and see what it is you're doing wrong, that you're not getting that nice banana bread after 20 minutes in the oven, 25 minutes in the oven. You're not getting that bhakti ras, you see, that sweet, sweet nectarian juice. It's like you bite into a gulab jam and nothing comes out, you see. Of course, there's one style of gulab jam like that, but I don't know. But the ISKCON style of gulab jam, which is the real gulab jam, you bite into it, that juice comes out. Profuse juice comes squirting out of that gulab jam. So when you chant Krishna's name, the juice doesn't squirt out. You see. You're not getting profuse juice from Krishna. You see. You're doing something wrong. If your japa is dry, if it's not profuse with juice, you're doing something wrong. You need to get somebody to help you. Either pray to Krishna, you know, pray to Prabhupada, pray to your spiritual master, or talk to somebody. Reveal your heart. Have them help you, because it's very difficult sometimes. We're so caught up in false egotism, it's very difficult for us to see our own faults. It really is. I mean, it's difficult for us to see our own faults. But somebody else can help us to see our faults. So anyway, I think we go till about 6:30. We have 12 minutes left. Maybe someone has some questions.
Srila Rupa Goswami says that initially there is no taste, but as one carefully keeps on chanting, automatically the taste will come.
Yeah.
So is it that I have just begun to practice Krishna consciousness for 5, 6, 7 years like that?
Yeah.
So I should not expect a taste which a devotee for 40 years has been chanting and he's experiencing. How much taste should I expect?
You're saying how long does it take?
I'm saying how much taste should I expect from Krishna?
You can expect as much taste as, in proportion to your surrender to Krishna, you can expect that much taste. You don't have to wait for 100 years to taste the nectar. Maharaj Katvanga got it immediately. You know that? Bhagavatam. He got perfection immediately. So it's not that, well, I have this wait here for 20 or 30 years chanting japa without any taste and someday it'll... No, you can get taste right now, Prabhuji. It's simply a matter of the intensity of your desire to only have one desire only, and that's to serve Krishna and nothing else. If you can zero in on that, intensify, pinpoint your consciousness on that one thing, that from now on, everything is for Krishna. Every thought is for Krishna's pleasure. Every word that comes out of my mouth must be for Krishna's pleasure. And every action I perform with my body must be for Krishna's pleasure. If you can intensify your consciousness like that, you will taste the nectar right now. You don't have to wait. You had a question?
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on that. Because I struggle with that desire of wanting to serve Krishna all the time. And I think it's because my love for Krishna is immature. So I have to wait until it becomes mature for me to have that desire.
She's saying that her chanting, she feels it's immature, so she needs to have time to mature, then she may get the taste for chanting.
Why don't you just... So she's saying her chanting is immature, it takes time. That's true. But I can tell you this for sure.
Knowledge about Krishna is also very limited.
Yes. So, your knowledge of Krishna is limited. All right. So you should be you should understand... You have very limited knowledge of Krishna, though you should read Prabhupada's books as much as possible, 24 hours a day. You should be on a reading, on non-stop reading marathon, especially here. You have no service here. You have the whole day. You can just sit and read Prabhupada's books the whole day. Read. See if you can read, you know, make a... give yourself an assignment. Well, I'm going to read this whole, you know... Whatever books there's even books right here. You can come this route, I see books on the shelf right here. You can come in here and read. I see the first volume, the Adi Leela, for part one of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can say, okay, I'm going to read the whole Adi Leela of the Chaitanya Charitamrita while I'm here at Vrindavan. You can come here every day, sit in this room where Prabhupada's presence is very strong. He lived right in the room there. Or you can go into Prabhupada's room. You can take this book. You go into Prabhupada's room and read all day right in front of Prabhupada. You spend your whole day reading, 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 reading. That will increase your knowledge. And whatever you remember in Vrindavan, anything you do right, you get 1,000 times the benefit. So this is the right place if you want to increase your knowledge. Study intensely here. And then you will get 1,000 times the benefit if you study here. So I would say, to get your knowledge up, give yourself a reading assignment. Take some book of Prabhupada's books. One of Prabhupada's books. Nectar Devotion. Have you read the Nectar Devotion cover to cover yet? Okay. Then read it again. Something, I'm just giving a suggestion, but take a book of one of Prabhupada's books that you haven't read or you'd like to read again, and read the whole thing cover to cover. Right here in Vrindavan, and pray for the mercy. Please, Prabhupada, please, Guru Maharaj, bless me that I can get the full benefit. This knowledge can go deep, deep, deep into my heart. See, this knowledge is not academic, it's actually mystical. It's realized according to the degree of loving surrender you have to Guru and Krishna. So if you study in that way, in a mood of devotion, then you will find that you will get taste and you will get knowledge both. There's an example, you may say, oh, I'm not very qualified, but I can tell you this. Qualification is not the thing. Sincerity is the thing. There's a very nice story in this connection. There was one Brahmana in South India, and there's one place called Rangachatra in South India, Ranganath Temple, a very famous temple. So there was one Brahmana there, and his Guru Maharaj told him every day, you must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So there was one problem, he was illiterate. He couldn't read a single word. There was some handwritten copy. They didn't have printed copies then, but he had some handwritten copy. And so he was sitting there, because he said, he would look it over, you know. He was going, looking at all the, to him it's just like hieroglyphics, as they say, it's all Greek to me. He was just looking at it and, you know, beautifully looking at it, and he couldn't understand a word of it. And everybody would make fun of him. And say, I'll just see that foolish Brahmin, he's illiterate and he's trying to read the Bhagavad Gita. Ha 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 ha. He was one of the standing jokes of the temple. Yeah, we have this Brahmin here, he thinks he's reading Bhagavad Gita. Like that. He was being criticized, you see. So Lord Chaitanya, he happened to be touring South India, and he happened to come to that temple. And he heard this talk about the illiterate Brahmin who reads Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya, let me check out this illiterate Brahmin who reads Bhagavad Gita. So Lord Chaitanya walked up to him. And he was used to being criticized by everybody, but he didn't care. Guru Maharaj told me to read it, so I have to do it. Even if I'm illiterate, it doesn't matter. I'm going to sit here and look over these pages. He was used to being criticized, but then Lord Chaitanya, just imagine you're sitting there studying and Lord Chaitanya walks up to you. His beautiful golden effulgence, the Supreme Lord in the form of a devotee, walks up to you. And he can immediately understand, this person has not come to criticize me. So the Lord Chaitanya approached him. He said, Brahman, I have heard you are reading Bhagavad Gita and you are illiterate. How is that? So he said, what can I do? Yes, I'm illiterate. But what can I do? My Guru Maharaj has ordered me, every day I must read 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita. So I'm simply sitting here looking over the pages. What can I do? But then Lord Chaitanya said, that Brahman, I see not only you are reading, but Brahman, you are crying. Also I see your tears coming from your eyes as you're looking over Gita. Why is that, Brahman? Why are you crying? He said, well, they made one painting here. They made one illustration Someone has made a very nice illustration here of Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. And I'm thinking, Krishna is so kind, he's acting as a charioteer of Arjuna. And when I think how kind is Krishna, I immediately cry. So Lord Chaitanya, he embraced him. He said, Brahman, you are the real scholar of Bhagavad Gita. So even if you're completely disqualified, you have no qualification. Just be sincere like that, Brahman. That's all you have to do. And you will get the mercy of Gauranga. He will bless you. Yes. My right ear is my good one. This is worse. Come to the right side. Okay, now we're in good shape.
Like Jarmala got attached to the deer. Yeah. And so but Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Gita that not that wife and children are not their natural objects of affection. This is what Prabhupada writes in one purport.
He says what?
Wife and children are natural objects of affection.
Wife and children, yes.
So, now Jadbharat had some, he had love, affection.
For the deer.
For the deer, compassion.
Right.
So, he may also like someone.
So, as he had affection for the deer, we may have, a house owner may have affection for wife and children. So, is he in the same predicament as Jadbharat? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, so in the sense that, we should be detached. In that case, love and affection may be there, but we should be detached.
Right.
Is that the way we...
Yes, the house order has to be detached. Every devotee has to be detached. To maintain material attachments in spite of chanting is an offense against the name. So one may serve with wife and children and have a natural affection for them. But if that affection overrides one's surrender to Krishna, then you're setting yourself up to take birth again. If that affection for wife and children overpowers your Krishna consciousness, if it takes precedence over Krishna consciousness, then you're in a dangerous position. But if one utilizes that affection for wife and children to make them Krishna conscious, well, that's the proper duty for the household, you see. It's stated in the Bhagavatam, the father and the husband, you see, his duty to see that his wife and his children are delivered. So he is not meant to renounce that duty artificially. He is meant to do that duty, but he will not be able to do that if he's more attached to them than he is to Krishna. He has to be attached to Krishna and only to Krishna, actually. That's Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means one attachment, and that is the Krishna. But within that Krishna consciousness, that Krishna attachment, everyone else is included. Because when you love Krishna, Krishna being the root of all existence, when you love Krishna, then automatically you love everything. You love your wife, your children, your family members. And who are your family members? All living entities. Krishna is our father, we are all brothers and sisters. So if you truly are attached to Krishna, you truly love Krishna, then if you purely love Krishna, then you have pure love for every single living entity throughout all of existence, including your wife and children. So that is the perfection of affection for wife and children, to have pure love for Krishna. And then you can purely love your wife, you can purely love your children, seeing them not as your property, but as Krishna's property. As soon as you think they are my property and I want to use them for my enjoyment, then you're cutting your throat. You're setting yourself up for another body in the material world. But if you use everything that has been given to you, just like even a brahmachari, you see, he is a certain Buddha. He has a bead bag, he has japa. He may have, you know, a smartphone that he has, you know, the Bhagavatams and a smartphone. He may have paraphernalia also. If he becomes more attached to the smartphone than he is to Krishna, he's in the same problem as the householder attached to wife and children. So the point is, one has to see everything as the property of Krishna and utilize everything in Krishna's service. And whether you're a householder, whether you're a sannyasi, whether you're a brahmachari, a vanaprastha, whatever you may be, if your only attachment should be Krishna, 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 Krishna. And then you'll have perfect love and perfect attachment for every single living entity, seeing them as being Krishna's part and parcel. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes.
Sometimes we see that the devotee when he's coming new, they feel very enthusiastic chanting japa, but gradually they lose the taste for it. Is it just the newness, or is it just they start seeing some faults in the devotee and process, and they start gradually going down?
Okay. So when people first come, they're excited about the chanting, but after a while they lose their taste. So is it just the newness wearing off, or is it they're starting to find fault with the devotees? And actually, those things go hand in hand, those two concepts. But I can give you a tip or a hint of what's actually going on so one can understand how to counteract that tendency. You see, here's the way it works. There's three kinds of happiness, and we're specifically here talking about the two kinds of happiness. Happiness in the mode of goodness and happiness in the mode of passion. Happiness in the mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end. Happiness in the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar in the end. So when we first come to Krishna consciousness, we're not pure devotees, but it's something new, it's something exciting. We're getting rajasic, you know, actually it's a fact, we're getting rajasic juice out of Krishna consciousness. And we're getting a rajasic pleasure out of it. Because it's new, it's exotic, something different, something mystical. You know, we get this rajasic juice from Krishna consciousness. But if one does not simultaneously cultivate the mode of goodness, which is to understand the knowledge, develop saintly qualities, develop the inner cultivation, you see, that's sattva-gun. If someone's externally very active, they become very active and they become a leader, they have all kinds of responsibilities, they're enjoying the passionate happiness of being influential, of being recognized, etc., and that's okay. As long as you have two tracks there, you have to cultivate the inner cultivation at the same time. You see, developing the saintly qualities. Because that rajasic, if you don't cultivate the mode of goodness while you're enjoying the mode of passion in Krishna consciousness, the passion, the newness will wear off. That means passion. If the newness is wearing off, that means your Krishna consciousness is rajasic. And it's gradually going to, you'll lose interest and you'll give it up. So you have to cultivate the mode of goodness along with that, getting that, you know, happiness, something new, something, I get to be influential, I get to establish myself in this society of people and be recognized. That's rajasic. That's okay, but you have, at the same time, you have to cultivate, more importantly, cultivate the sattva-gun, you see, the saintly qualities. Shamadhamas, which is brahminical qualities. Shamadhamastapashacham chantirarjavameva jnanam vijnanamastakam brahma karma svabhavajam. These qualities you have to be developing while you're enjoying the newness and the recognition, etc. You have to cultivate equanimity to see everything is the mercy of Krishna, the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, to see how the hand of Krishna is acting in every situation. That's called sama. And then Dhamma, controlling the senses, Samadhamma, Tapa, you have to be austere, you have to be regulated to rise early every morning, take your bath, attend Mangal Arati, regularly, every day. You see. That developing that austerity is very important. Controlling the tongue, only taking prasadam, you see, don't talk nonsense. These are austerities. So you have to perform that tapa. And then chal chum, you have to bathe regularly. A Brahmin, Prabhupada says, bathe 3 times a day or at least 2x a day, you see. He said a brahmachari can just bathe 1x a day. One place he said that. Maybe because he's out preaching all late and he gets home late at night. But anyway, a Brahmin means 3 baths a day or at least 2, Prabhupada. So that's cleanliness. Shamadamastapavshocham chantir means tolerance. Even you're offensive to me, I forgive you. You see. Even you're rude to me, you act in a hateful way towards me, how I will repay you? I love you. Like Christ said, turn the other cheek, you know. So we have to be very forgiving. Very important, the quality of forgiveness. Chantir, arjam, honest. Don't be duplicity. Prophets did not want duplicity in ISKCON, and still there's so much duplicity going around. Don't be a duplicitous person. Be very honest. Be a very honest person. Arjivam, jnanam, cultivate this knowledge. Read these books. Understand what Prabhupada is saying, and via jnanam, apply the books. You see. And astikam, you must have full faith in Krishna. You see. So if you will cultivate these brahminical qualities, which are poison in the beginning. I don't want to forgive everyone. I want to hold a grudge against them. Yeah, he's really rude to me. I want to hold a grudge, you see. We don't like to forgive people. It's poison for us in the beginning stage. But do it anyway. Do it anyway, because Prabhupada said we have to do this. This is how you get cured of your material disease, you see. Cultivate these. The sattvic qualities, even though they're poisonous in the beginning, and what happens? As the rajasic pleasures become poison, now the sattvic pleasures becoming nectar. And the sattvic pleasure just going increasing, and turning to pure bhakti, you see, eventually. Brahma bhuta prasannatmana sochati nakangshati samak sarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labhate param. This is talking about becoming purely in goodness, you see. Brahma-bhuta means you're absolutely fixed in goodness. Brahma-bhuta, whenever you become fully joyful in that state, you have no lamentations, you no have hankering, you're equally exposed to every single living entity in all of existence. And in that, from there, then you can go to pure prema-bhakti, where you actually can reawaken your sarupa, your dormant relationship with Krishna. So, time is actually only the material world. But we have... I'll let one more question come in.
As for chanting, and the mind wanders everywhere, how do we recognize that we're contemplating Krishna and recognizing that
dancing on
our heart is the
when we are chanting, the mind is going here and there, and then often we recognize this Krishna is coming and he's dancing.
Recognize
the
what?
Recognize that Krishna is coming and dancing in the heart.
I see. Well, that dancing in the heart is a very advanced, to experience that is a very high level, obviously. But Prabhupada gave, for on our level, Prabhupada gave a very nice instruction. The thing is, you need to, even if you don't experience that Krishna is dancing in your heart, you need to bring your mind into focus on the name. Even if you don't experience that, you just have to, out of sheer discipline, say, okay, I'm going to do this discipline, I'm going to keep my mind fixed on the name. That's an austerity, you see. That's tapa. But Prabhupada actually said a very interesting thing that Prabhupada actually told one of the ladies in our movement in one letter, Balavi Devi Dasi. He told her this, when you chant japa, feel the presence of Krishna. So that's similar to what you're asking about. So the question is, how do you do that then? How does one feel the presence of Krishna? Well, how would you do that? We have to think about it for a minute, according to the Vedic wisdom. First thing is, Krishna is present. You have to understand and acknowledge that Krishna and his name are one and the same. Krishna is present. Even if you don't chant, he's within every atom as the Supersoul. He's between every atom. He's in your heart. He's everywhere. There's millions and billions of manifestations of Krishna right here in this room, right now. Or even in, outside of Vrindavan, the same thing. Even if you go back to Australia, Krishna's within every atom, between every atom. He's in your heart. There's nowhere where Krishna is not present, you see. It's kind of like... it's like you're sitting there in your apartment somewhere, and even here in Vrindavan, for example. I don't listen to the radio, but I do have a radio sometimes for listening to the Bhagavatam class. Actually, because I have bad ears, I listen in the temple room and through the radio. I hear it in a headset in the temple room. I hear it on the radio. If you flip the dial, they're trying to find the Bhagavatam class. There's all kinds of mundane channels here in Vrindavan also. You see, you know, some Hindi songs or something. So that means that right now, in this ether, in this room, there's different radio broadcasts going on. You know, it's happening right now. Somebody's talking about the weather. Somebody's talking about the latest cricket game. It's happening right now in the ether. So we know it's there. So how do you experience it? You have to have a radio and you have to turn it to the right place, and you can pick up that vibration. So Krishna, just as that radio waves are present in this room, but you can't perceive them right now, Krishna is present and you cannot perceive him. So you have to take the radio set and you have to turn it to the right place on the dial, you see. So you already have that radio receiver, and that is called your consciousness. And you have to tune your consciousness to the proper channel, and then you will actually experience Krishna directly. So Prabhupada has taught us how to tune our radio sets to the proper channel, fine-tune them, you see. So actually all you have to do is tune in, you see. Properly tune in through Prabhupada's instructions carefully. If you tune in, you will actually experience and you'll feel Krishna. That's a thing. So, how do you do that? You're chanting. Well, first thing is, think Krishna is here. Hare Krishna. Now, if Krishna were here, what would I do? Would I become happy to receive him, or would I ignore him? So, am I happy to hear Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, or am I ignoring it? Like, when is prasadam? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You see the point? Krishna has come. You have to give him proper respect. If you give Krishna proper respect, you will feel how he is present. If you honor and respect him, then now he has come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you give him all due honor and respect, as if he had personally come to your room, which he does do when you chant, he actually is there, he actually is present. Now it's up to you. He's done your part, his part. Now it's up to you to do your part. Now he has come to you. Now you receive him properly. You open your heart to him. You give him your love. You see, give Krishna your love. If you don't give your love to Krishna, where are you going to give it? You see? To some man of this material world? To some dog? Some cat? Some parakeet? Where will you give your love? To your country? No, these places you will not be satisfied. You give your love to Krishna. Open your heart to Krishna. And by doing that, then you will feel how Krishna has come. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And that day will come when you will dance in your heart. Anything else? All right.
In the beginning of the lecture, you mentioned that there is an eternal bank account. Every devotional activity we perform, there is a bank account.
Yes.
Krishna is noting down. You mentioned about it.
Yes, Prabhupada mentioned. I don't think I finished it. Yeah, Prabhupada said that your devotional activities, it's like a bank account, and when you build up your assets to a certain point, then you go back to Godhead. It's like saving up for a ticket to Vrindavan. You know, you keep putting in your you have your savings account for your trip to Vrindavan. You put the money in, you put in the rupees in, finally you get enough for the ticket, bingo, go on the internet, got my you know, print out my boarding pass and I'm off to Vrindavan. So it's like that. Of course, it's not that it's mechanical, but it is, Prabhupada did say that actually you accrue your spiritual assets until finally you build up sufficient assets and now you're qualified to go back to Godhead. So every little thing you do, it's adding up, and one day you'll have sufficient assets that it will burn away all your impurities of the heart, and then your pure Krishna prema will awaken within your consciousness. So I think we can stop here. And we thank you all very much for coming to Vrindavan and taking up this process given by Prabhupada. Kindly dive deep into the holy Dham, the holy name, into the holy association of Vaishnavas. And if you do so, you will taste the sweetest nectar every minute. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.